We are in no way certain what Bach himself called these pieces, if he called them anything at all. We say Toccata and Fugue in D minor. That's not Bach's title, and we don't know what his title would have been. Call it whatever you like, the opening moments of the Toccata in D minor are among the most memorable ever written by anyone, Bach or any other composer. Let us listen to part one. We'll listen to it, and then we'll discuss it a bit. This Toccata, by the way, I have divided it into two large parts. Well, I haven't divided it. Bach divided it. I've simply labeled where I think those parts are. And we are going to listen to the first half of part one, what I call large phrase one. Let's listen and then discuss it at some length. As usual with any good piece of music, it's almost impossible to know where to start in talking about just this opening idea. By the way, if I could just assert on you something that I listen for when I hear a piece of music, any music, and it's something we should all be aware of. It's something we're aware of when we watch TV or go to the movies or go to a play. We should be aware of it apropos of music too. Whatever a composer does first is going to be your first impression of a piece and is going to make a very powerful impression on your entire perception of the piece. For example, if a composer comes on like a gangbuster at the beginning of a piece, then our attention and our consciousness is riveted in a way that if they had come on quietly, it wouldn't be. Whatever statement you make up front, we would expect that to come back. It becomes a principal primary statement. Now, sometimes a composer wants to lead us in gently into a piece of music and gives us an introduction. But even introductions should be coherent and should somehow impact on the music we hear later. This is an opening that is so magnificent and so starkly awesome and beautiful that we are riveted from the very beginning. Now, I think of certain pieces that do this and then fail. For example, and this is, again, just my personal taste, Strauss's Also Sprach Zarathustra, which was used as the theme to the movie 2001, starts with the most magnificent opening. We all know it as this kind of sunrise over the planet Earth or Earthrise over the moon, however it's being used at any given moment. This thing. It's a great opening. 2 minutes of the best, most galvanizing music I've ever heard. But you know what? The next hour of the piece is a long, terrible letdown. There's a case where a composer shot his musical imagination at the very beginning. Now, I'm sorry, Strauss, wherever you are, your heirs and your fans, I like Strauss as much as the next guy, but here's one that didn't work. What I'm saying is that when one starts a piece this powerfully, you've got a lot of responsibility to follow up on what you're doing. And Bach will follow up. But I just want us to be aware that this is a conscious thought on his part, from the beginning, the biggest statement I could make. Now, what makes this big? Well, let's talk about what makes it big. First of all, we hear the entire organ from the top to the bottom. The fact that it starts high and goes low gives this a sense of gravitas, a sense of moving downwards into the bowels of the earth that gives it even more power. You see, when you start low and move high, it creates almost a question mark. But when you start high and go low, it makes a statement of very great import. So the first thing I want us to be aware of is that this is a descending idea. Each of the small phrases, of which there are three, that outline the opening idea is moving ever more downwards, ever closer to the core of our gravitational center, and we feel that sense of centering. And with it comes a great sense of power. First thing to be aware of. Second thing to be aware of is that we are hearing three phrases, each of them separated from the others by a long and pregnant pause.